thank you, Lord, that obedience is a weapon. We thank you that you use it often. Thank you, Father, that you take a gift and you add skill to it, and talent, perseverance, Lord, and then you go ahead and put the anointing on it, Lord, and you own it. Thank you for that. I thank you for tonight. I thank you for these people who ventured out in this fog. Lord, I thank you that your Holy Ghost dwells richly among us. I thank you for the angels that have come, God, to participate in whatever it is you plan on doing. Lord, you have done much, and we thank you for it. And we look forward, Father God, to the word that comes from your heart tonight. May we not hurt it, Lord. May we embrace it. Call it good, Lord. May we learn from you tonight, Father. We thank you for all these things in the name of Jesus. We lift you up, Jesus. We lift you up, and we thank you. Amen. Praise God for you guys. If you're on the floor, you can stay there. Doesn't matter much to me. Worship team, thank you for everything. Genesis 8, let's go there. Genesis 8, 13 and 14. The Lord is good, amen? Man, his mercies, they endure forever. Praise God. Genesis 8, 13 and 14. I'm going to talk to you tonight, not for a long time. I'm going to talk to you about arrows and bones. Can you come with me for that? And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. It's important that you remember that. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried. Face of the ground being dry is a surface event. I'm not going to keep you long, so pay attention to the words that are coming at you tonight. Surface event. The face of the ground is dry, but then the earth was dry. Tonight, the Lord did a lot of delivering. He did a lot of baptizing in the Holy Ghost. He did a lot of good things. One of the things he did in mass was that he consumed your flesh and down you went. Now, for that to happen, that means that the earth of your soul is going to be changed. Not just the top of it, the guts of it. The two different events, they're mentioned differently because they are different. You know, my grandson, I picked him up from school the other day. He's a little cutie pie, 6 years old, as cute as he could be. He gets in the car, and I said, were you around a dog at school? He goes, Grandma, there's no dogs at school. I go, well, there was a dog there at one point, because you smell like a dog that did something bad in the playground. He goes, uh-uh, Grandma. So I took his little shoes off, and on the bottom, was dog poop smashed into all the grit on a shoe. I'm 63 years old. I know what that smells like. And he said, that's not that, Grandma. That's just dirt. Well, me being who I am, I put the shoe right up to his nose and said, sniff that. He said, oh. You can walk around it. Right, Johnny? You could smell it, but you don't have to participate in it. But man, when you step in it, you're participating now. It's that way the Holy Ghost. You can have an event like tonight and say, wow, man, God shook me up and he got a hold of me. How cool was that? Stuff happened. I had warts and they fell off. Very cool. Very nice. Dude, that's on the surface. But what are you going to do in the middle of the day tomorrow when somebody makes you so mad you lose your salvation? What are you going to do next week when you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off and you start talking to them like they're sitting next to you? What are you going to do then? That's the Lord trying to prove to you there's a surface event and there's a soul event. What's got a hold of you from the deep of who you are? That's what matters. I don't like football because I don't understand it. And because I don't appreciate somebody yelling at somebody else's child saying, kill them. You guys are 10, you know what I mean? But some men you can't, I don't know, you guys, come on. I don't know what happens to you during football, but something does happen to you. Some women it happens to, but not very often. They're usually cooking and giving birth, you know, whatnot, during that time. The men go nuts. And recently, there was a guy who's a Christian man, and he's screaming at the ref, screaming at the coaches at the top of his lungs. And he's not being nice, and he's a Christian. I said, hey, knock it off. What are you doing, man? You're not acting right. He started screaming at me and said, this is what he said. I'm a football fan. I can act however I want. I said, okay, big man, why don't you go down on the field and tell that ref to his face what you're saying up here. Tell that coach to his face what you're saying up here, because he can't hear you up here, but we can. Then he was quiet. And afterwards, I said, why do you act like that? Well, I'm a football fan. Well, you're a Christian first. That's a man that has a surface event. It's on the surface. It'll rub off when times get tough. This here is a surface event. The ground is dry. Is your ground affected, or is your very earth affected? Is it on the outside, or is it on the inside? And you should be willing to surprise yourself once in a while. Give yourself a challenge that normally you think you wouldn't be able to pass it. Throw yourself right in the middle of the mud. Hang out with that person that, you know, they get on your last nerve and see how you handle it. You gotta test yourself. The earth being dry is an event that you cannot get rid of. It goes in your bones. You can't shake it. You can't change it. You know, girls, I'm not going to ask if you have Botox or such things. But you know, everybody knows this story. I was at Legoland. You know how you have they draw a picture of you, a character? Yeah, they drew a character of me and my husband and my grandbabies, you know? And I have, I guess because we're intense, you know, girls, we get this line right here in between our eyes. It's called the 11. Didn't know that, the 11. Well, I was wearing these little patches at night because a lot of time at night I've been in pain and I scrunch my face up in the middle of the night. So this little thing you put on here and it like smooths it out in your sleep. It's pretty good, you know. Surface event, right? That stupid thing doesn't really work. So we go to Legoland. We go to Legoland, and the guy draws a painting of us, and we walk away, and I'm brushing the side, I'm brushing it off because there's, it looks like a piece of hair right here, you know, and I'm brushing it, and it doesn't come off. I go, what is that? And the guy goes, that's how you look. I go, but you drew a line there. And my husband goes, well, that is how you look. I said, what? What? So I called my friend and I said, get rid of it. I don't care what gravity does to any part of my body. I could give a rip. My face could fall off, but that thing right there is not happening. I'm not walking around with this giant canyon in between my eyeballs. I'm not going to do it. I don't know why. I'm not typically a vain person, but I couldn't stand it. And that Legoland picture sits there staring at me all the time. Because everybody in it is super cute, except me. I'm looking at them and their cuteness and their sweetness. He draws an 11 on me. I go in there and I said, get rid of it. He said, oh yeah, well it was created for the 11. I said, the 11's an actual thing? Yeah, it's a thing. When I tried to make the face, the outside of my face, manage itself, it wouldn't manage itself. That 11 would not go away. Then they injected something into my muscle, and magically, it's gone. Now, after church, you're all going to come looking at it. I know. And you're wondering, even right now, it's pretty much gone. The face of the ground being dry is a surface event. But when the earth is dry, it is something different. You can put lotion on your skin, might work for a little while. Wash your hands, it's over. But you ingest a bunch of oils and different weird stuff. And I suppose they say you have soft skin. Look it, I haven't engaged in it, but it's what I hear. If you're only wanting a surface event and the face of the ground being dry, that's all you will get. You'll go from experience to experience to experience and nothing will change. But when you say, I don't want the face of the ground being dry, I want my earth to be changed. The soul of who you are has to change. You have to force it, you have to provoke it, you have to work on it. Because when you found Jesus Christ, your body didn't get saved. I'm sorry. Your spirit did. Your body doesn't like you. It doesn't like your spirit. It doesn't like most things you want to do that are godly. It wants what it wants. Your soul has desire it has no business having. Your flesh is your wretched enemy. Your mind will wander and think things that it should not think. Force you to do things you should not do. Your spirit loves Jesus. You got to convince the other three guys to come along. Your soul, your mind, and your flesh. And if you don't work on those three things, you'll always be the guy that's just the surface Christian. When somebody needs help, they'll come to you and your house has collapsed. The big bad wolf came around and blew that house down because there wasn't enough effort in it to stand up. There wasn't enough effort in it to help anybody else, not even yourself. How, people ask, and they ask it a lot, do I get to that place? Read your word, Bob. Read your word. Is the Bible is everybody's standard? If you can't be full of the word, your mind will not be convinced. It will not be renewed. Your soul will not be changed, and your body will not come along because the word of God is alive. And there's Christians wandering around called by the name of Christ, and they get their strength from something besides the Lord. And they come into a meeting, and God is good. He's kind, you know, he's gracious. And then they think, well, they must be all right because the Lord moved on them. Listen, God moves on us because he's good. That's all there is to that. But in the quiet in the night, you know if your surface has been moved or if your soul has been moved. And I want you to think about that as you turn to 2 Kings 13. 2 Kings 13, 14 to 19 is what we're going to read. 2 Kings 13, 14 to 19. Now, Elisha, he was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he would die. And Joash, the king of Israel, he came down unto him and wept over his face, and he said, "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And Elisha said to him, "Take bow and arrows." And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, "Put thine hand upon the bow." And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, "Open the window eastward." And he opened it. Now then Elisha, he said, "Shoot." And he shot, and he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them." And he said, "Take the arrows." And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, now listen to this part. You have to get this visual. You've got Elisha. This is the last miracle he would do. He's an old famous man. He's the Bible guy. He's got his hands on your hands. The window's open. It's all very dramatic. He's telling him to shoot the arrow. It's the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. It's exciting. The enemy's coming in on him. He needs help bad. He says, "Take the arrows," and he takes them, and he says, "Smite upon the ground." And he smote 3 times, and he stopped. Verse number 19, and the man of God was angry with him and said, "Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria only but 3 times. When God tells you to do something, you have got to believe it like it is God Almighty talking to you. You don't get to have another opinion. You don't get to say, "Well, it feels good today, I'll do it. Tomorrow I probably won't want to. I don't feel good today. Maybe I'll do it when I feel better. I'm broke today. Can't do that. Maybe I'll save a little money and do it later. I'm too tired to drive over there now. Maybe I'll do it later." The people that can't follow through with the arrows are people who will always have regret. They will people who they will always fail. They will never get over themselves to get into God. Between believing and not believing is the deliverance of the Lord and holding on for it. When the Lord tells you to do something you don't maybe haven't understood, that's his promise waiting to be fulfilled. Sometimes he says, "Give me something to work with." You want the favor of God on your life? Are you obeying the Lord? You want the Lord to do this? You want the Lord to do that? Are you praying? Are you reading? Are you fasting? What are you doing? Are you hanging around with the surface? Are you letting the Holy Ghost bother you and go deep? I'm telling you this because the Lord did some stuff in here tonight, supernatural stuff. And he expects you to yield to him now in a way that you did not before. It never got in his bones. It was simply a surface event. for the king. He stopped at three because he wasn't that into it. The arrows of the Lord must go hard into our bones. They must go so far into your bones that it is hard to recover from it. It's hard to recover from it. If it's not in your bones, you can cast it off pretty easy, and you'd probably heal up from it pretty good. But when it gets in your bones, man, it changes you. Even after the Lord told him, and this is the troubling part, this is the part that's concerning. The Lord said, this is deliverance. It is not a mild, hindered hope. It is deliverance. But he behaved like it was nothing. What you do matters for the people coming behind you. For the people coming up, it matters. You are leaving legacy. If it's ugly or beautiful, you're leaving it. King Josiah hindered the promise of God and actually prevented the fulfillment of the full promise because he would not believe. His imagination, his mind could not fathom just getting fired up over this. He didn't want to really be bothered. How many times do we not want to be bothered and tragedy strikes? It's tough, man. Our attitude and behaviors are responses to what we really believe. To what we really believe. No matter how much you want to believe, you cannot unless it is the truth of God. Our attitude, our behaviors, they are responses. And if you find yourself constantly responding incorrectly, then you need to do a checkup, because there's times of regret when we don't. I was in church, old Filipino church. I grew up there. And Sister Vi was I've said this before, she was a fantastic individual. She was the kind of person that she wouldn't let you off the hook. I mean, there's no way. You couldn't, she made you learn how to move in the Holy Ghost. She made you get it. And we would tarry and we would linger. And I was just a little kid. And she'd say, these people up here, pray like it's your mother. Pray like it's your sister. Pray like this is your father. Pray like that's your best friend. And if we didn't, she'd come after us. I used to travel an hour to the Bible study twice a week, take time off my job as I grew up and became older. And I'd go there. I wanted to learn, so I would show up all the time. And I remember her talking about she would be in prayer and the Lord would give her a vision of a bomb in New York, in a backpack, in a garage, in a box, in a closet. It was always in New York. She'd never been to New York, and neither had I. And we'd pray. And somewhere, somehow on the news, in a day or two, it would be discovered there was a bomb in a garage in New York, in a parking structure next to the Twin Towers. There was a garage somewhere. There was a closet somewhere. This went on for years. I cannot say for sure, but I am almost certain that she single-handedly prevented a 9/11 a decade before 9/11 happened. She went home to be with the Lord shortly before 9/11 happened. And I can tell you right now, if that woman had been alive, 9/11 would not have happened. She'd have prayed it out. She would have prevented it through prayer. What are we doing? If we can't live in the Spirit, we can't fight in the Spirit. If we can't fight in the Spirit, we can't fight battles in the heavenlies like we're supposed to, and we'll be always fighting them down here. That's somebody that doesn't have a surface event. That's somebody that's got an earth-shaking, earth-moving soul event, and there's no regret there. Because so often we do what we think God's calling us to do if we feel like it. Man, you're really never going to feel completely like it. You know what I mean? In his autobiography, Just As I Am, Billy Graham tells a conversation. I'd like to read it to you, and then I'll be done. He says this was a conversation that he had with John F. Kennedy shortly after John F. Kennedy's election. He says it this way. On the way back to the Kennedy house, the president-elect stopped the car, and he turned to me. He says, "Do you believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ?" I said, "I most certainly do." "Well, does my church believe it? They have it in their creeds." "They don't preach it," he said. "They don't tell us much about it, and I'd like to know what you think, Dr. Graham." I explained, Billy Graham says, that what the Bible said about Christ coming the first time, dying on the cross, raising from the dead, and then promising that he would come back again. Only then I said, "Are we going to have permanent world peace?" "Very interesting," he told me, looking away. "We'll have to talk more about that someday." And he drove on. Several years later, the two met again in 1963 at the National Prayer Breakfast. Billy Graham says, "I had the flu. I remember how terrible I felt. After I gave my very short talk and he gave his, we walked out to the hotel to his car together. As always was our custom, before I got into my car at the curb, he turned to me. He said, 'Billy, could you ride back to the White House with me? I'd like to see you for a few minutes. I've got some questions. Mr. President, I've got a fever.'" He said in a protesting manner, "Not only am I weak, but I really don't feel good. And besides, I don't want to give you this thing. Couldn't we wait and talk some other time?" It was a cold, snowy day, and I was freezing as I stood there without my overcoat. John F. Kennedy was a gracious man, and he said very graciously to me, "Of course, Billy, of course." But the two would never meet again. Later that year, Kennedy was shot dead. Graham commented, "His hesitation at the car door and his request haunt me still. What was on his mind? Should I have gone with him? But it was an inconvenient, irrevocable moment. Someone, somewhere, is waiting to see your passion for Christ. They're waiting to see the deep, sunken arrows in your bones so they too can believe what you believe. Would you stand? Thank you. If you don't have the arrows in your bones, you'd be of really little use to the kingdom. You can maybe fool some of the people some of the time, but it won't last. It can't. Because the power of the Lord makes the difference than the unction of the Holy One. Amen? Some of you are praying for your families. Some of you are praying for broken relationships. Some of you are desperate for finances. Others are desperate to get out of depression and fear. I get you. I know where you're coming from. I understand. But the truth is, if we can't prefer the Lord first, then nothing else matters. Amen? I want you to walk in a fervency tonight. The Lord had said he would consume you, and he has. As they play, I want you to seek the Lord for this fervency so your bones will have arrows sticking out of them. So you will be those who pound on the ground with fervency, not just three times, but you'll go out of your mind pounding on that ground, the passion. Some of you have passion that others are trying to destroy. You cannot let it happen. I remember one time I was in a church and I was, you know, I was attending and, you know, I was a youth leader and doing stuff, my husband and I, and I pulled up and somebody got out of their car and they were weeping uncontrollably. And they grabbed my hand and they said, "I need you to pray for me. I just found out last night my dad died. I came to church for encouragement, but I don't think I can make it through the door. Could you pray for me?" So I hugged her outside in the parking lot and prayed for her, and I walked her in and tried to make sure she got prayer. Well, after church, the pastor took me aside and hollered at me, told me I was trying to start my own church in the parking lot. I was an attorney at the time. I wasn't a preacher. I honestly do not know what is wrong with people. But your big, shining soul is gonna irritate them. You are gonna just drive them wild. And that has got burn anyway, baby. Burn anyway. Another time I was sitting up front worshiping, you know, the Lord had come, he had just come and got me. I was enjoying the Lord. And I was told, "You calm down, you're making a show." Right. So I thought, well, I'll go in the back. I went in the back. Now people think something's wrong. Sit right in the middle. All right. She suffered long, folks. I sat in the middle. But then people would come and they'd say, "Please pray for me." I said, "Well, you should ask the pastor to pray for me." I did. He doesn't have the goods. The Lord told me if he prayed for me. You see, it wasn't me. Because of the sorrow and the suffering and the abuse and that sacrifice, that gift just got bigger and bigger and bigger for God's glory. And God would heal him. Pastor would come flying off that platform and run over, knock me out of the way, grab the guy and start shouting, "Look what the Lord has done." His church split three ways because you can't keep doing that stuff. Folks notice. And I would say, "Well, what is the matter with you? For years I'm just doing nothing but submitting and I'm trying to help and I'm not doing this stuff on purpose." Finally, he said, "Well, you probably should go. We'll keep your family here." It put my family to work intensely so that they couldn't leave. And they said, "It might be better if you left, though." So I went to church by myself out of town. I did that for 7 years. And I found people didn't mind if I was annoying in the spirit. You see, I wasn't jumping up, running around. I knew how to behave. I knew how to be still. I knew how to behave. when the Lord would say anything, and quietly I'd have to whisper. People would want prayer, I'd sit in the back and have to whisper quietly as God would heal them. Because the people in charge were jealous. They didn't have the gifting that it would take to run anything or fix anything. Oh, I'm not saying I did, but I'm saying they were scared that I did. I only tell you that story because you need to understand it's going to cost you, and it bloody well might cost you everything. I lost my family during those years because I wouldn't tell the Lord no. And they'd all go off and do their thing and go to long lunches afterwards. And I would be home by myself. I'd make a dinner and nobody ever came to eat it. I found a church full of people who were not afraid of the power of God. But I was so beat up that they had to force me to operate in the gifts because I was just beat up. I didn't want to create disunity. I didn't want to. So I would just say, I'll keep my head down. I will do nothing. Because everywhere I go, people get mad. So I'm just going to be still. And there was a people that said, don't be still. Do what the Lord tells you. And so I did. And the people that did that, their church keeps splitting. They've got all kind of weird marriage things happening. Like the associate pastor divorces his wife and marries the worship leader right there in the church. And they're like, cool, man. The cesspool of impurity and ugliness. Because when God came in there by way of a gift, they said, sit down and be quiet. We don't want to be bothered with you. We made the bread, but you're not getting any, God. That's why I'm nuts about let the Holy Ghost have his way. Because it's not right for somebody to tell you to stop it. I believe in order. I believe in unity. But not at the sake of crucifying Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen. It can't happen like that. Oh, I'm 63 and I've been doing this since I was 12. So you see, I've got a lot of stories. I'll spare you from them. But I need you to understand, don't get your feelings hurt when the devil comes and starts scratching you. It's his job. It's his job to try. He doesn't have to get to you, but he'll try. I like a good fight, don't you? I like a good adversary. So let's get in the ring and bounce him around, shall we? The Lord loves you, and he loves you. I spent so many days in my closet crying, saying, Lord, I didn't mean to cause disunity. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that. And if I sit in the back and whisper quietly a prayer of healing, they'd always find me and yell at me, tell me to be quiet. And I would be hurt because I would think, well, I'm hurting the kingdom. And I had to find out I wasn't hurting the kingdom. I was hurting man's religion. Man will not like that. Keep pressing, children. Keep pressing. Don't give up. Be who God called you to be. Lend your gifts and your talents and your skills back to him so that he can anoint it. Hate no man. Forgive everybody. But keep going. March right out of that mud. Amen? Chico needs you. Corning needs you. Los Mo needs you. Redding needs you. Red Bluff needs you. Every surrounding area needs you. Orland, Orville, they need you to be who you were made to be. Without prejudice, without excuse, without complaint. And God will only take a dead man and a dead woman where he needs them to go. No one's gonna like it. They're not supposed to. You be who you're supposed to be consistently with those arrows stuck in your bones marching around. And I promise you, the kingdom of God will flourish at your hands. Amen. Praise God. Let's worship the King, shall we? You go if you need to, but we will stay for quite a while. And I ask you to allow the Lord, please, to finish the good work that he has begun in you tonight for his glory. Amen. Don't let anything distract you now. Here we go. Thank you.